Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This is a message for pastors and lay leaders of Missouri Synod congregations. As we enter the last quarter of 2020, how are you doing and how's your church doing? What has the COVID lockdown done to your attendance and giving? In 25% of our churches, giving's actually gone up. So why are some churches struggling and others thriving? Here at LCMS Stewardship and the whole Office of National Mission team, we have answers and we have help for you and your church today. LCMS.org/stewardship.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There's a story by Jonathan Merritt for Religion News Service. It's titled, How Will the Post-Pandemic Church Pay the Bills? I imagine there are a lot of Christian congregations out there. Well, they're happy right now because many of them have seen their giving go up during the pandemic, something that was somewhat unexpected. We'll have to explain that here in the course of the next half hour. But they're worried about whether or not that uptick will be permanent, and they're very worried about whether or not they're going to see a decline in giving post-pandemic, especially since we haven't felt the economic effects of the pandemic in full yet. Those tend to be somewhat delayed. Joining us to discuss this Religion News Service story, Pastor Heath Curtis. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's coordinator for LCMS Stewardship. Heath, welcome back.
Always good to be with you, Todd.
First, how do you explain the fact that many congregations have seen an increase in giving during the pandemic?
Yeah, in our own denomination, the Missouri Synod, we've got some pretty good stats on that. About 25%, 1 in 4, of our congregations have seen an increase in giving over the course of the pandemic. And I think in general, so that's the hard stat. Here's my gut feeling interpretation of that stat, that where a congregation is in general healthy and pastor and congregation really get along really well and just kind of everything's clicking on all 8 cylinders, I think the people of God are generous. I mean, I know that's true, period. The people of God are generous. And when you combine the fact that the people of God are generous with, and my congregation is responsible and things are going on all 8 cylinders and everybody's getting along and there's a lack of conflict, I think the natural thing is that the people of God respond to a crisis and they say, hey, this could be really bad for our church, therefore I'm going to increase my giving. I think that's really natural. I think it's too bad that in 3/4 of our church, and again, the Missouri Synod, I think in many ways, in this kind of statistic, in this kind of realm, indicative of the general picture of American Christianity, I'd expect these same kind of percentages, Southern Baptist Convention, United Methodist Church, you know, whatever. I think it's, you know, it's too bad that in 75% of our churches, either local economic issues were so constraining or the local conflict, you know, level of the local congregation was so high that that didn't happen. So actually, that doesn't surprise me. In fact, I wish that number were higher.
Is that increase likely to last?
You know, that's a tough question. The longer this crisis in our nation, and of course it varies by different states. I was reading an article this morning that, you know, in the San Francisco Bay Area, still every school, every library, playgrounds are still all shut down and have been completely for 7 months. Where I live in Southern Illinois, it's much more a mixed bag. Nationally, it's only like 13%, I think, of kids are back fully in school all the time. The intensity of this lockdown, the intensity of people being out of work, is just varying greatly by your geographic area. If that kind of pressure is in your area and it's been going on for 7 months, I don't know how that can continue because people have to care for their own families, and eventually, I mean, well, you know, you can't get blood out of a turnip. Things can only go on so long as they can go on. So I think there's going to be a limit to what people can do, what they're able to do, and I think every jurisdiction is probably going to hit that at a different time. But I can't see it going on for years, certainly.
Is there a long-term trend in giving kind of broadly across Christian congregations in the United States, apart from the COVID effects, the more recent effects?
Yeah, I mean, in general, we can say that a generation ago, more like 50% of U.S. giving to charities went to religious organizations. Today, we can say, generally speaking, 30% go to religious organizations. So now that's a trend that's beyond the scope of just religious Americans. It probably indicates the general decline in religion in America. Within denominations, I feel it's highly variable. If we look at our own, stuff I know best is my own denomination, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and what we see is that our giving has done pretty well, been pretty steady over the course of a generation. Now we've lost membership, and you and I have had conversations on this topic of demographic change in America. We've lost overall membership, but when you start to, and again, these numbers are hard to get at because you have to factor in inflation, you have to factor in the numbers that we have on the average income of an American household and so forth. I would say in general, what it indicates is that confessional conservative Christians tend to be more generous than the norm, but you have to balance that against this demographic change. So if you start to compare generation to generation in real dollars, that is inflation-adjusted dollars, even in good confessional, solid conservative denominations, overall giving is down in terms of inflation-adjusted dollars.
Some denominations are anticipating the closure of congregations. I heard kind of through the grapevine rumor of somewhere in the neighborhood of 30% after COVID. Do you think this is likely?
Well, so the biggest picture I've seen, I think this is Gallup, not Pew. They've said maybe 1 in 5 Christian congregations in America, so 20%, are in danger of closing. I have firmer numbers, again, from our own denomination, is that 13%, so let's call it 1 in 7, 1 in 8, of the congregations in the Missouri Synod have real concerns about viability going forward, whereas before this epidemic hit, that was only about 9% of our congregations. Let's say there's been a 1 in 3 increase in the number of congregations with viability concerns because of the pandemic.
What does the possibility of congregations losing their tax-exempt status mean for those congregations?
It would be crushing for a great number. Now, what that number is, 20%, 30%, 40% of our congregations. You know, I think about where I serve. I'm in rural Illinois, but we're very much within the metro St. Louis world. Where I'm at, where I think of the other congregations that I know very well in my community, Lutheran and others, it would be crushing. There's no more fat to trim in our budget. And so if we all of a sudden were taxed like a business with that would have the kind of revenue that our offering plate giving gives, that would be crushing. I mean, serious things would have to change. And so I think that's a very real threat to the viability of congregations, of certainly smaller to medium-sized congregations, and even larger congregations around the United States.
What kind of congregations would you think are especially vulnerable to a post-COVID drop in giving?
Well, what you would have to look at is your congregation's budget and how responsible it really is. I just had a conversation with a pastor. Again, I serve as the coordinator for stewardship for our denomination. So I was having a conversation with a pastor in our denomination, and he was kind of taking me through all the things, you know, and there are things that began getting tighter over the years. And immediately, as I was listening to him talk, one thing that stuck out at me was I could tell from the way he was talking that his congregation was not setting aside money for care of the buildings. And I pointed out to him that any business, there's no CP in the nation who would approve some business's budget that owned a building if they weren't setting aside real hard money, for example, to put a roof on that building every 20 years. And yet many, many, many small, medium, and large congregations in America don't plan the way a business would plan for things around like capital maintenance. Like, you know, in your home, think about you homeowners out there, you've got to have a roof every 15 to 20 years. If that surprises you, if you're not setting aside money for that, you're bad at financial planning. You know your house is going to need a new water heater every 10 years. If you're not planning for that, you're bad at financial planning. Well, a whole lot of our congregations are bad at financial planning in that way. And so those congregations that are, because every congregation is operating close to the edge because we're not in the business of piling up money. We want to spend the money on ministry. We want the dollars that come into the offering plate to get out there to do the work of the gospel. Well, that's a temptation to us in a way because therefore we don't really plan the way you should plan to care for capital improvements.
We are talking with Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator of LCMS Stewardship, about a Religion News Service story on the financial impact of COVID on the post-pandemic church. Some churches are going multi-purpose, renting out space. What does he think of that idea? We'll find out next.
This is a message for pastors and lay leaders of Missouri Synod congregations. As we enter the last quarter of 2020, how are you doing and how's your church doing? What has the COVID lockdown done to your attendance and giving? In 25% of our churches, giving's actually gone up. So why are some churches struggling and others thriving? Here at LCMS Stewardship and the whole Office of National Mission Team, we have answers and we have help for you and your church today. LCMS.org/stewardship.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our study of St. Matthew with Woe to Galilean Cities, Come to Me, Lord of the Sabbath, Man with a Withered Hand, and God's Chosen Servant. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you ever wondered if your investments could do more? I mean, a whole lot more? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. When you invest with us, you not only earn a competitive interest rate, but your investment goes to strengthen Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations through low-cost loans and services. To learn more, visit lcef.org/invest101.
During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues, Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to Confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a Religion News Service story on the financial impact of COVID on the post-pandemic church. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. Heath, some churches are going multi-purpose. That is, they're using their space when it's not being used for their own kind of innate purposes. They're using it for someone else's purpose. They're renting out the space. What do you think about that idea?
Well, again, I hesitate to condemn any congregation for looking at their current options and saying, we need to do what it takes to continue the ministry of the gospel. So with that caveat, let me say that nowhere, neither the Old or the New Testament, do we see any recommendation, certainly no expectation, that the church is going to do her ministry based on anything but the generosity of the people. So I think the first stage that every congregation needs to do is have a plan every year as it is appropriate. I'm speaking to a denomination where we ensure that our preachers preach the whole counsel of God by giving them a lectionary, a series of lessons to read every Sunday. For me, I look ahead through the whole year that the lessons that have been assigned for me to preach on, and I make sure that on the weeks where it is appropriate to those lessons, where stewardship, generosity, the responsibility of the people of God toward the ministry financially, where that accords with the lessons, I make sure we talk about that. I make sure that our people hear the Word of God and are encouraged to live that out when it comes to these issues of faithfully giving a first fruits, sacrificial, proportional gift of your income toward the support of the ministry. That's what we see in the Old Testament. That's what we see in the New Testament. That has to be how the church operates. Now, if you're already doing that, I'm not going to certainly not going to condemn you if you say we're going to have an auction as a fundraiser for our church. Certainly not going to condemn you if you say, you know, in our neighborhood, right around our church, a house just went up for sale. It'd be great if we controlled that asset because it's right in our neighborhood. We might someday want the expanded parking, but for now, we're going to buy that house and rent it out. I got no problem with that. But if you start to say, the people aren't giving faithfully, therefore, I'm going to start a business, that's where I start to say, you know, let's slow down and let's make sure that the people of God are hearing the Word of God and they're giving in accordance with the Word of God, because you're starting to get away from the biblical model, which is that the church lives from the generosity of the people of God. I'll tell you another story from a congregation that shall remain nameless. I'll make this as general as possible. I'm sure it's happened many times, but this is one that I know of personally. A given congregation, an old lady dies in the congregation. She leaves that church $3 million worth of stock in, you know, some big blue chip stock. I won't even mention what stock it is for fear of giving away the locality. $3 million. Church maybe has 60 people, 70 people on a Sunday. Worst thing that ever happened to that church, because all of a sudden, the people stopped giving. This great big gift came in. We don't need, you know, our church only runs on $200,000 a year. We just got a $3 million gift. What am I giving for? There's an example of people not understanding the biblical model. God doesn't tell us to give a first fruits proportional, generous proportion of our income in the New Testament. He doesn't tell us to do that because he somehow needs our money. He tells us to do that because it's healthy for us. Everything in God's word is to benefit us. And 5 years after that gift, the congregation had basically split. They'd sent the pastor out on his ear. It's a disaster. Because faithful giving and the church living from the generosity of the people is the healthy biblical model. If we get away from that, it's going to cause a disaster for the church.
There are some churches that are contemplating launching genuine side businesses, for-profit businesses, in order to pay their bills. What do you make of that?
Again, I think the distinction there is in order to pay their bills. The church, the pattern in Old and New Testament is that the church lives from the generosity of the people. Now, it'd be a completely different thing if a church said, you know, we've got this big campus, we could rent out this section of our campus, make umpteen dollars, and we're going to go do something above and beyond. We're going to do this big mission project. We're going to do this big this giveaway for the poor of our community. We're going to take the funds for this and do things that are above and beyond the word and sacrament ministry of our church. Great. Again, I've got no problem with innovation. I've got no problem with entrepreneurship. I got no problem with thinking outside the box. Again, think of the New Testament. St. Paul, as a guy going above and beyond, as a guy with a special call to be this missionary, did his tent making on the side so that he could do that. But that same guy said in 1 Corinthians 9:14, the Lord has ordained that those who preach the gospel should make their living from the gospel. So that's the relationship between the generosity of the people and tent making, let's call it. The generosity of the people is what is called upon to support the gospel ministry. This tent making stuff, that's extraordinary. That's above and beyond. And I will caution that many congregations have found, and this is something you need to think about, when they start a business, when they do a fundraiser for the first time, it starts off as, we want this to be above and beyond, and then over time, it just kind of is absorbed into the general budget. So that's a caution for churches to think about. But certainly, what any side business, what any, again, tent making, to use a biblical model for this, that has got to be above and beyond, secondary, because the biblical model in both testaments is that the church is supported, the word and sacrament ministry, the preachers of the word are supported from the generosity of the people.
One suggestion is that churches restructure their budgets in the model of voluntary organizations like Alcoholics Anonymous in order to basically make them salary free. Is that a good idea?
Well, I'll just quote a Bible passage, 1 Corinthians 9:14. The Lord has ordained that those who preach the gospel should make their living from the gospel. So Jesus institutes a professional, full-time ministry. If you look to the Old Testament, the tithe that was commanded in the Old Testament was to go to the Levites. Why? Because they were not given any land. Why? Because they were to serve full-time in the ministry. So Old Testament and New Testament, the pattern is clear. The ministry is to be a full-time job, and that requires it to be supported by the people. So absolutely not. It is unbiblical to move to a model of ministry where the preachers are volunteers.
How does a congregation ensure, insofar as it is humanly possible, that it can survive financially, even regardless of COVID?
What you need to do is put the Word of God first. Every issue in the church has to be solved with the Word of God. So put the Word of God first, lay before the people over the course of, again, I tell congregations, if you haven't been doing something with stewardship, with generosity, if this is going to be, you know, new to your people, you need 9 to 12 months to carefully plan how you're going to teach what the Word of God says to your leadership and to your whole congregation. Take that 9 to 12 months, lay out what the Bible says, so you're teaching what the Word says, then ask the people to do that, ask them whether they're going to do it, and then plan accordingly. So this is the only stewardship plan: teach, ask, and plan accordingly. And then you're going to know your congregation's financial capacity. You're going to know how the Lord has blessed your people, how the people are planning to give. And then you can plan for a balanced budget. A lot of congregations the past 10, 20, 30 years have been spending down the wise savings and the wise asset management of previous generations. For a lot of congregations, those days are rapidly coming to an end. You have to live in the black. You have to live from the generosity of the people. Again, not condemning congregations that do a few things above and beyond the generosity of the people with fundraisers and renting out property and owning farmland. I'm not condemning that in any way. But what I'm telling you is that's frosting on the cake. That's gravy on the potatoes. The Church of God has to live from the generosity of the people.
Finally, what can you tell us about LCMS stewardship?
Well, if any of your listeners who are in the Missouri Synod, congregational lay leaders, pastors, contact us, stewardship@lcms.org. We want to help you faithfully, biblically, and in a robustly Lutheran manner plan for your congregation's financial well-being by putting the Word of God first. You can check out all our resources at lcms.org/stewardship. But if you want help, if you don't know where to start, if you've been stuck in one spot for a while, if you're concerned about where your congregation's heading, send me an email, and we are here to help. stewardship@lcms.org.
You'll find excellent stewardship resources, especially during this time of pandemic, at lcms.org/stewardship. Managing the gifts God gives to us, LCMS Stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship. Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's coordinator of LCMS Stewardship. Heath, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Have a good one.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll conclude our series, Things We See in Church, talking with Pastor Sean Denzer of LCMS Worship about stained glass windows, statues, and other images we find on Sunday morning. On Friday, we'll discuss evangelical buzzwords with Pastor Chris Roseboro of Fighting for the Faith, and we'll get an introduction to the Augsburg Confession from Pastor Paul McCain, General Editor of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.